This is Taking Aim, a weekly show hosted by David Hensley and Stephen Woodward. Join us for open season on hypocrisy, deception, woke culture, and uniparty cronies. We'll review the stories you might have missed and prepare you for what's to come in the week ahead. Taking Aim starts right now.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is, in fact, Steve Woodward, and I am joined by David Hensley. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everyone.
We are delighted that you have joined us for the debut of Taking Aim, which is a program that we have contemplated for quite a long time now, and we are certainly happy that it has come to fruition. We are delighted to be on the airwaves each and every Saturday morning of WEEB, where we will bring you a weekly recap of all the insanity and government abuse and naked aggression on our rights. We will also tee up the week ahead and what to be on the lookout for, because you know the one thing that the left does very well is it distracts everyday citizens from what it's actually doing in plain sight. And we believe it is our duty on this program to give you the prioritization of the current events and topics and trends that that you need to keep an eye on. You can't keep an eye on everything. You can't immerse yourself in all of the craziness, in all of the disingenuousness and hypocrisy. But if you can focus on those areas that could literally have an effect on your lives every day, whether it's the cost of living or the expectation that your children are being educated and not indoctrinated, whether it is your physical safety when you're out in your communities, whether or not it is your freedom to exercise your God-given and constitutional rights. All of these things are on our radar each and every day, and we condense them and distill them into a one-hour program that we like to call Taking Aim, because we are always, dare I say it, on a swivel and ready to react to the local, statewide, and federal stories that are swirling around us, coming at us like water out of a fire hose each and every week. David?
And there's certainly no lack of materials to do this show with. But yes, we will be taking aim at, as the intro says, hypocrisy, deception, woke agendas in the media, education, and government at all levels, to include federal, state, and local. Because someone has to point this stuff out, and someone has to hold our media and elected officials and the bureaucracy accountable.
Right. And by the way, just so you know, it is not our intention to leave you in need of antidepressant meds at the end of each program. We intend this to be an entertaining, often sarcastic show that will, of course, entertain all of us at the expense of some of the pathetic folks that we keep on our radar, some of them just around the corner, some of them up the road in Raleigh, even further up the road, up I-95 in the nation's capital, in the swamp, and then across the fruited plain, as the great Rush Limbaugh used to say. So the structure of our show, just to recap what you may have heard in our pulsating intro, we will identify each week a public enemy number one, which may be a person, it may be an entity, it may be a trend, it may be a foreign government, it may be any number of members of the Marxist Democrat Party. You will never hear us use the word liberal on this program. There are no liberals left among the Democrats. They are leftists, they are Marxists, and they are generally despicable human beings. After we identify and expose public enemy number one, we will then launch into a review of important stories that you may have missed in the past week.
And it's been really tough to keep up with what's going on with the rapidity of action of the President Trump's administration. In case you haven't noticed, they are not sitting around.
Yes, there is a if there was a tsunami alert for the media for media content, just the sheer volume of executive orders would have caused the media world to be in a constant state of DEFCON 5 as it pertains to incoming. And then after we've reviewed what you may have missed, we will wrap up the program with a look ahead to the coming week and the stories and the people that that will matter, and we'll also potentially share with you some stories in the week ahead that you might have had no idea were percolating. So we'll try to accomplish all of that in under 60 minutes each and every Saturday morning. And afterwards, we hope you'll have an appetite to become involved in your community, to hold your elected officials to account, and then go and have a nice lunch.
Yes. And so, by the way, we intentionally scheduled this show to run late on Saturday so that the loser leftists, you know, who like stay up late drinking cheap vodka and stuff, so when they get up in their cheap vodka-induced hangover with, you know, stale cigarettes around them, they can wake up at, you know, 10:45 and tune in.
Or New Zealand Chardonnay out of a box.
Yes.
Which is the Hillary Clinton inebriant of choice.
Well, Hillary Clinton and Bill DeMastis, wine of choice at the GOP headquarters.
You just
here
had
in
to go
County.
Straight there, didn't
I
you?
Did. Well, yeah, you know, okay. We are taking aim.
That's so that exactly was like right. So we have concluded after many long production meetings that our first public enemy number one should be writ large the crony establishment, and that will allow us to cast a very wide net. Into which we will ensnarl all kinds of despicable humans and organizations. You've heard a lot in the past several days about this U.S. aid entity, the USA International Development Fund, which we have discovered is sort of on par with the organized crime families in terms of its laundering of funds all over the world to the most absurd various causes and whatnot.
Well, let's talk.
David's
about,
all over this.
Yeah, let's talk about the crony establishment, and let's define what the crony establishment is. And ironically, you know, I kind of figured this out and started talking about it when I ran for school board, 5 years ago, because I figured out, and this is born to be. This is over the years, it's turned out to be true, is the crony establishment. What it really is, it's a coalition of the far left and the rhino crony Republicans. And what they did is they formed a coalition. And for a generation, maybe generations, that's been the coalition going after American people and going after American people on the left, on the right, and the center, our common enemy. Look, our enemy is not the liberals on, you know, the traditional liberals on the left. Our enemy is the crony establishment, which is the far, far left, and the rhino Republicans who have joined together, and the left gets to implement all their leftist stuff. And it's turned out they're implementing it. You know, they implemented it in Moore County schools and they're implementing it worldwide. And the establishment Republicans, they just get, man, the grift. It's amazing. $1 billion on DEI contracts in 1 year.
That's, well, it's, I was going to say it's astonishing, but it really isn't, is it? I mean, and that's why you are now seeing the exploding heads all over the place as corporations start to denounce DEI policies and programs and mandates, realizing that it is not aging well as in terms of their bottom line. Yep. But that leaves all of these bureaucrats who are fully invested in it. Wondering how they're going to survive, how they're going to keep this scam alive, this gravy train of DEI money coming in, and sustain this outrage about the fact that our nation is still to this day gripped by systemic racism, and that diversity, equity, and inclusion is the only path forward to undo the wrongs that are the 250 years of our nation's existence.
So
So want to talk about USAID a little bit?
Well, let me chat a little bit. Let me just flesh this out a bit. Again, the enemy, our enemies, have never been our fellow citizens, regardless of where they're at, you know, within a standard deviation of the middle.
Correct.
You know, our enemy is not our fellow citizen. Our common enemies of 90% of the of the American people, our common enemies are the far leftists who try to, you know, implement this just crazy woke agenda that just went too far, and the members, the political leaders and bureaucrats across both Republican and Democrat who've been fleecing the people. And, you know, it's come out in the last week, you know, Billy Crystal, you know, has a foundation and funneling money to it. And now it's coming out that maybe Lindsey Graham, you know, senator from South Carolina, has one of those foundations. So, you know, and again, you saw the same thing here in Moore County, just on a different scale.
Exactly. And you see it right up the road in Raleigh with the North Carolina establishment. I mean, look what they did. Look at the scenario they created. They promoted for 4 years a flawed candidate named Mark Robinson for governor of North Carolina on the Republican ticket. Anyone who dared to suggest that maybe we were getting ahead of ourselves, a little over our skis with this rabid devotion to Mark Robinson as the savior for governor of North Carolina, simply because of the color of his skin and because of his ability to deliver a booming speech and get people fired up. Anybody who said that there might be a better candidate like Treasurer Dale Falwell, we were cast aside. But what they really wanted to tee up was a scenario where we had a flawed, unelectable Republican candidate so that we could end up with Josh Stein as governor so that the guys at the top of the food chain in Raleigh, Phil Berger and his cronies in the North Carolina General Assembly, dominated by Republicans, are more than happy to, quote-unquote, work with a Democrat governor because, ultimately, they can all get a little bit of what
right,
they want.
They all get the piece of their pie.
Exactly.
And who gets screwed? North Carolinians get screwed. Here's a great example of that. Phil Berger, Republican president of the Senate, and Tim Moore, who was the Speaker of the House, under their tutelage over the last 4 years, the left got everything they wanted. They got the Green New Deal in North Carolina. So if you're wondering why your energy rates are going up, it's not Duke Energy's fault. It's the Green New Energy Deal that Berger and Moore conspired with Cooper to foist upon us. Medicare expansion. Medicare expansion was like the Democrats, you know, goal. And just last year, the General Assembly, led by Republican Phil Berger and Tim Moore, passed Obama's Medicare expansion.
Right. And which, you know, over time we will see will do nothing but inflate the costs of care for everyone.
Right. Right. And another example is, remember when Obama was president and he wanted to end the school-to-prison pipeline? We need to end the school-to-prison pipeline. Well, here's a little known factoid. Everyone remembers the huge explosion of violence in our schools over the last 5 years. It was horrible.
Yes.
And that is a direct result of 5 years ago under Berger and Moore, under Republican leadership, right? They conspired with Cooper and Stein to pass juvenile justice reform. Obama wasn't even in office. Obama wasn't even pushing for it. Yet our Republican leadership, who's really the crony establishment allied with the left, they 100% passed that. And no conservative wanted that. Think about this. In the last 4 or 5 years of the crony establishment being in charge of our General Assembly, they've passed the Green New Deal that drove up everyone's utility prices. They did Medicare expansion, which is unfunded, and the juvenile justice reform. No conservatives wanted that. And all of that was done against 90%. 90% of the North Carolinians don't want any of that. It punishes us.
Absolutely. And now here we are with we've lost by one vote our supermajority in the North Carolina House. We still maintain a supermajority in the Republican Senate. But now we have to contest with a Democrat governor, a Democrat attorney general. I mean, already, already this attorney general is joining, 21 other states in standing in the breach against one of Trump's executive orders involving sanctuary states and cities. And, you can't make this stuff up. We've got a lieutenant governor who's a Democrat now, Jim Hunt's daughter. But that's kind of what the Republican establishment
That's what they want.
Had in mind.
See, that's what I call on my fellow citizens to think about, whether you're right of center or left of center, and look at your fellow citizens, the people who are going to work every day trying to make ends meet, just good Americans, people with good values, wherever they fall in the political spectrum. Look at each other and you'll realize that they are not our enemy. Our enemy is the crony establishment, which again is a long-standing coalition between the far left and the crony Republicans, and they get exactly what they want. They enrich themselves. They get personal prestige. They get all the perks. It turns out that, they're funneling money to themselves. We need to start looking at that. And that's one of the reasons we have this show, because we are not going to pull any punches and we are going to take aim on issues such as this.
And we will do so gleefully and defiantly when we have to.
Although we may need to put some sandbags and concertina wire around this building.
Well, you're right. And we may have to hire some former military guys who would like to pick up a few bucks as security guards, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We're fine. And we've got a guard dog in here too. Occasionally he chimes in on the live morning radio show.
Yes.
Sometimes
he participates through sense rather than
He's upset because he didn't get a contract extension. So
okay, so what stories may people have missed?
Well, I think we before we leave that, before we leave our opening segment, we should point out. I just can't let this go. Some of the waste and abuse that is being tied to this United States Agency for International Development USAID. Here are just some of the ways that this federal money, taxpayer money, has been abused and dispersed. $1.5 million to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia's workplaces. Serbia. $70,000.
Well, hold on.
Wait, there's more.
$1.5 million for DEI in Serbia. How much did Sand Hills Community College spend to promote DEI?
Over what period of time?
I don't know. Well, they had that speaker here last year.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, 1.5 well, million for
there
DEI.
Used to be a highly compensated dean of diversity
yes,
at the college.
She's no longer
the
with
position
us.
No longer exists.
That's a shame.
The department $70,000 to Ireland for the production of a DEI musical.
I wonder if they wore kilts when they Irish don't wear kilts.
The Scottish like to wear
okay,
their kilts.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. No, a DEI musical, that would be Irish Lies Are Crying?
No, you know what it was? They had a blonde in it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, right.
You redheads. They had to have quotas. They had to have brunettes, blondes, right. And redheads.
Yeah, and another actor with actually a full set of teeth. which was nice. $2.5 million for electric vehicles for Vietnam.
Oh, there's VinFast, you know, this boondoggle up here that they're never going to build the VinFast plant.
Yeah.
Haven't heard much about that
no,
lately.
No, not a
you?
Thing.
Well, I'm glad we're spending $2.5 million for electric cars in Vietnam.
In Vietnam, when they can't even seem to get them manufactured here. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. Boy, I'm sure that the folks at Sandhills Pride are probably going to be booking flights to Colombia to see that presentation.
They're going to be mad they didn't get $47,000 to have an opera here in Southern Pines.
Because they would gladly produce one annually at the Sunrise Theater. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. How about that?
Look, kids need something to read, too.
$2 million for sex changes in LGBT activism in Guatemala. Sex changes.
You know, I don't see a lot of Guatemalans stepping up to get their gender changed. That just seems like not going to fit in with their society.
nothing says liberation like a Guatemalan transie, I guess. $6 million to fund tourism in Egypt. Well, they've got the pyramids. I mean, people are going to go there anyway. Why do they need to be subsidized?
Right.
You've got one of the wonders of the world in Egypt. Plus, you got Egyptian women who are quite attractive. Let's see. Millions of dollars to the notorious Eco Health Alliance, which was involved in research at the Wuhan China lab.
Oh, we're going to talk more about that here in a minute.
Which unleashed the Chinese communist bioweapon that people like to call COVID, but that's not... That's not strong enough.
There is
really.
Evidence coming out 100% to prove that the United States funded the gain-of-function research in Wuhan. I wonder if that's related to the Fauci pardon.
Including a institution of higher learning up the road in a little town called Chapel Hill.
Yeah, we'll talk about Duke and Chapel Hill.
But here's the kicker on this USAID abuse. Hundreds of millions of dollars to fund irrigation canals, farming equipment, and even fertilizer used to support the unprecedented poppy cultivation and heroin production in Afghanistan, which, of course, is what underwrites the Taliban,
right.
Which took over after the Biden regime pulled out of Afghanistan one fine morning in time for everybody to get home in time for dinner.
But this poppy production, if you remember correctly, early on in the Afghan war, a couple years into it, U.S. troops were complaining that they were detailed to defend the poppy fields that the Taliban were growing to produce heroin. So here's what you had. You had U.S. troops protecting poppy fields. Little did we know that U.S. aid was spending hundreds of millions of dollars to grow those poppies to produce heroin and then flood Europe with heroin. Let me say that again.
Say it again. It bears repeating.
U.S. aid spent hundreds of millions of dollars to give to the Taliban for them to grow poppy to produce heroin to then flood the European market. That doesn't seem very neighborly of the United States, does it?
No, not at all.
Maybe we could have just got out of that business and let China send fentanyl there.
So let's move ahead to what our dear listeners may have missed over the past week here in this very busy, endless news cycle. I think we've got to talk about the glorious. Let's start with the Panama Canal, and let's just check off that box. Now, a lot of people were probably wondering, well, what is Trump's obsession with the Panama Canal? I mean, who cares about the Panama Canal? Well, you know what we discover is that lo and behold, first of all, we gave it away to Panama.
Thank you, Jimmy Carter.
Finally, Jimmy Carter. We gave it away. And then, over the years, the Panamanians have allowed China to basically sort of sublet it, use it as their own little handy very valuable waterway. And now,
in violation of the treaty that we gave them the canal, by the way.
Correct. So now what have we learned? That the Trump White House has gone directly into discussions and negotiations with the Panamanian president and his cabinet. And in a matter of days, Panama announced that it would cease doing business with China. It's what is it called? The Belt and Road?
Belt and Road Initiative.
Initiative, which
China has been going around the world for the last decade or so, doing their Belt and Road Initiative, signing up countries to set up their global expansionist imperialism. And Secretary Rubio, little Rubio, remember that little Marco?
Yeah.
Right? Remember him? He's doing a great job. He made one trip to Panama, and Panama pulled out of the Belt and Road Initiative, just told China, we're pulling out. And two other South American countries have subsequently told China, no more Belt and Road Initiatives.
Yeah. And that's the way, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't have to stand by and let these people push us around. And of course, we also saw, you know, the mainstream corrupt media went apoplectic, full blown apoplectic when Trump announced his promised tariffs against wage on goods coming from Canada and Mexico, our national parks to the north and the south. Canada may be soon to be more than just a what they used to call it, a loft apartment above a really good party. It could soon become the 51st member of these United States.
Well, look, the point is Trump was very, very, don't pay attention to what the media says. Trump, before he was even inaugurated, said, I'm going to impose 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada until they stop illegal crossings into our country and they stop the drug trafficking. He said that before he was inaugurated.
Correct.
He did it, and within 72 hours, guess what? Mission achieved. Canada and Mexico both deploying troops along their border. They're both deploying technology, and they both put together task force to stop the flow of drugs in the United States. The really frustrating thing about this is all of this, whether it's exposing the corruption or stopping China and stopping the flow of drugs. It was always this easy. But the fact of the matter is, whether it was Bush the first, whether it was Bill Clinton, whether it was Obama, whether it was Bush the second, whether it was Biden, they were all in on the grift. They were uniparty swap, whether they were left or right, and they were all benefiting from it. And the 90% of Americans, we shouldn't put up with this because it was always this simple.
And even the Wall Street Journal, which is becoming infected by Trump derangement syndrome, even the editorial page, all they could talk about was the potential long-term economic damage to our economy, to the U.S. economy, imposed by these tariffs. But they missed the point. The tariffs don't have a long term. The tariffs were invoked to
specific goals.
A specific response, which they did.
Mission accomplished.
Mexico sends 10,000 troops to the southern border. Justin Trudeau, little girly boy Justin, pledges to beef up security at that border, primarily not because there's a lot of illegals flowing across there, but the ones that are loaded down with fentanyl. And so we need to put that in check. The tariff imposition did that, and then Trump paused the tariffs immediately for 30 days.
Yep.
And so the Wall Street Journal tries to say, well, look, Trump had to rescind his tariffs because he saw how unpopular they
were. No, that was the plan. See, that's how the media twists stuff. Yeah, no, it's BS.
It's absurd.
All right, let's move on.
How about the cost of those eggs, David?
Cost of eggs?
I mean, again, every day we wake up to new stories of woe about people who are limping out of the Waffle House psychologically damaged by the imposition of a 50-cent surcharge on any eggs that happen to be included in their order, which if you're going to the Waffle House, you're probably going to have at least a couple of eggs on your plate.
So here's the problem. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Ah,
and
what you're doing
the
there.
Biden administration, they killed hundreds of millions of chickens because of this bird flu. Guess what happens if you kill, say, 120 million laying hens? What don't you get?
Eggs.
Right, because you have to have the chicken before you have the egg.
Yes, you do.
So, you know, this is an artificial egg shortage. And you know what? They'll grow more hens. Those hens will lay more eggs, and all will be right with the world.
You're correct. And I don't know. My own sort of unscientific investigation is that in my recent visits to grocery stores, I haven't seen these bare shelves or the $12 carton of eggs. I'm not seeing that.
I was at Sam's Club last week. They had pallets of eggs for $3.48 a dozen.
Wow. So, were they hen eggs or were they like dinosaur eggs?
Chicken eggs. They were chicken eggs.
Well, then that's all that matters. Now,
what do we talk about?
What else do we need to talk about?
It's come out, and you can see this on our social media page that doesn't exist, but there's a diagram that's come out that has shown the flow of money to the Wuhan lab. And I'll just describe it real quick. It shows the National Institute of Health, and they, the NIH, under Fauci, remember his pardon?
Anthony Fauci.
No wonder
he's been pardoned. He's in deep.
So he funneled, the NIH gave money to, plus the U.S. Agency of International Development, they gave money to four or five different entities. And those five different entities, in turn, gave money to Wuhan Institute of Virology or the Academy of Military Medical Sciences in China. So... Yes, it turns out the NIH under Fauci was funneling money to the Wuhan lab. But here's what's interesting. Four of the five entities that they used to funnel those monies were colleges or universities in the United States.
Correct.
They were University of California, Irvine, Regents of the University of California. That's not even, they just funneled it right through the Board of Trustees, right? The third one was the University of California, Davis. And then the fourth one, right here, our very own Duke University. According to this diagram, Duke University took money from the National Institute of Health and then redirected it to the People Republic of China Academy of Military Medical Sciences.
Wow. And they say Durham has a crime problem. We just didn't know it was... inside the gates of Duke University.
Well, so anyway, when this comes out, the lawsuits are going to be enormous. What was the price tag for COVID, and what was the economic damage? Hundreds, tens of trillions of dollars?
It would be more accurate to say incalculable.
Duke and University of California... The University of California and Regents, they better get their endowments up to incalculable, because that's what the judgments on these coming lawsuits are going to be.
Yes, that's exactly right.
But I don't find it ironic that the preferred vessel of choice to funnel money to Wuhan were universities and colleges, because they align ideologically with, Fauci and the Democrats.
Yeah, they weren't going to get a lot of pushback on the potential for all that could go very wrong with gain of function research, which of course we know that it did go very wrong.
Well, they got their cut. Someone's got to pay for that new stadium or that new building or the statue of the chancellor or whatever. You might as well just skim 10% off this and pay for a new grotto or something.
It leaves one to ponder what other forms of dangerous and nefarious and civilization-threatening research are going on as we speak.
Oh, this is just the tip of the ice. This is just, let me remind everyone, this is just the end of week three.
That's right.
I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Now, that leads me to another topic that we need to cover, which is, we all sort of chuckle at some of the unhinged social media accounts that come across our radar here.
Oh, is this a local story?
Here in the county, yeah.
Yeah.
There are several Facebook pages and groups which are... These people are generally very mentally disturbed and very miserable people, typically also lacking in basic hygiene habits as well. And I think, I don't know that we want to give a lot of publicity by naming these Facebook pages and groups, but in particular, one came to our attention.
I got it right here.
I believe she refers to herself with the B word, doesn't she?
I don't. Her name, her first name is Joy, right? So,
oh, well.
So remember when Kamala was talking about how the Democrats were the party of joy?
Yes.
Right? And we thought joyous, and we thought, wait a minute, there's nothing joyous about. I mean, look at all the meltdowns, and look at all the foul stuff that they're doing in the streets right now, right? They've never been the party of joy. But what I didn't realize, we found who Kamala was talking about. This lady went on a rant on social media. She's local. I think she lives in Pinehurst. And let's see.
God, I hope not.
She's referring to...
Seven Lakes, I think it's...
Yeah, Seven Lakes. Which, she's an anomaly in Seven Lakes. Anyway, she's this is an anti-Trump, President Trump rant that she went on. And... here is part of her rant. I can't believe we're stuck with this dip until a better shooter shows up. Let me say that again. This Lady Joy, who represents the joy of the Democrat Party, I can't believe we're stuck with this dip, referring to Trump, until a better shooter shows up. I mean, we got local nuts who are like calling for people to assassinate our president. Do you ever recall Obama, Biden, Clinton? Do you ever recall anybody on the right calling for the assassination of any of them?
No, of course not.
Never, not once, but it's a routine. It happens like three or four times a day.
Yeah.
You know, against President Trump. And these people are unhinged and they're dangerous.
They are, and there should be a knock on the door, because let's not forget that a grandmother from Falcon, Colorado, who walked into the U.S. Capitol on 6 January 2021 and knelt to pray and then left, having touched nothing, stolen nothing, damaged nothing, she was... tracked down by these FBI stooges, thugs. She was sentenced to probation and home confinement. Now she's been pardoned, of course, by one of Donald Trump's initial executive orders. But that woman was savage, and she's just one of hundreds of them.
Well, the lady that prayed outside an abortion clinic, a grandmother who got sentenced to 5 years in federal penitentiary for praying in front of a...
And yet these people can go on social media and say these things, make these very specific threats.
Yeah. Well, there's a new sheriff in town.
And they apparently are not subject to a knock on the door or a dawn raid. I mean, some of these people were raided at dawn.
Well, okay. So, 40% 40% of the FBI were detailed strictly to J6ers. 5,000 agents, or 40% of the FBI, did nothing but track down and drag out of their homes J6ers. In fact, imagine how many rapes and murders and financial crimes and true crimes went unpunished while, Pelosi and Biden got their revenge.
Well, they never assigned a cadre of FBI agents to root out all the instigators of all the Black Lives Matters protests of 2020,
right. No, not
which
at all.
Were far more insurrectionist in nature.
I doubt the Biden administration even put a single agent to investigate the people who tried to assassinate candidate Trump.
But you know there's going to be, you just wait. When Kash Patel is ultimately confirmed as director of the FBI, he has already passed through his initial committee confirmation. And you just wait. When he walks in the door on day one, just like Pam Bondi at the Department of Justice, when he walks in the door of the FBI day one, the Hoover building, he's... Oh. You're going to need there's going to be a lot of Hoovers.
The memos and directives are already written. They're just waiting for a signature and stamp a date on it.
There will be many Hoovers vacuuming up documents and other damning evidence.
The
paper shredders will be humming. It'll sound like a symphony of paper shredders, and the U-Haul trucks will be lined up down the block to carry all this stuff away. What they're going to need ultimately are probably straitjackets to carry out some of these FBI people who are going to be finally held to account, and that will happen. You saw what happened with the FBI agents when they issued the questionnaires requiring them to describe in detail.
Right.
The activities that they took part in,
right.
in pursuit of these so-called J6 criminals.
Lots of stuff going on.
And the acting director of the FBI has defied the executive order to produce those questionnaires.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see how it's not looking good for the FBI. So let's shift gears and let's talk about all this fraud that's coming out. This is it. Our publicly funded media, you know, turns out Politico, which is a far left publication that writes on things that happen in Capitol Hill, they've received $34 million from USAID. And Politico is owned by a German billionaire. So Politico, a supposed independent journalist, got $34 million a year from USAID. And they were just getting paid to run the propaganda.
And by the way, it was Politico that leaked. This is very important.
Yeah.
Politico is the organization, I won't call them a news outlet, I'll just call them an entity, that leaked the draft ahead of the Supreme Court ruling. You remember this, going back to the Biden regime,
yep.
on the forthcoming end of the now I'm drawing a blank on what they ended. It was very consequential.
Roe versus Wade.
Right. Thank you.
So Politico is also the newspaper that ran the story that the Democrats used as a basis to impeach Donald Trump the first time.
Correct.
Literally, they were paying their allies to publish stuff that was untrue. Then there's a video of Nancy Pelosi out there talking about this, how they would have the media run a story, and then they would point to that story, and then they would take action based upon the story that they themselves planted. There's a video of Pelosi saying that, and now here we go. They did it to the tune of $34 million a year.
So for the first time in my memory, some lackey at the Supreme Court leaks this draft of the forthcoming, you know, intention to overturn Roe v. Wade.
I wonder if money changed hands there.
Gee, I don't know.
I can say with 100% certainty that money changed hands.
Well, we certainly know that Politico had quite the slush fund in which to dip pay its sources if as needed.
I bet Elon Musk and his brand of fellow programmers will figure that out. But here's another one, right? New York Times, right? You know, the people who tried to cover up the Holocaust, right?
Yeah.
You know, the New York Times, $54 million from the federal government.
Well, it turns out the gray lady, maybe she's a hoe.
You know, they it's so much for independent journalism. Maybe we could get Taking Aim. You know, $34 million.
I'll take $3.4 million.
Yeah, we'll put in for a grant.
So it used to be all the news that's fit to print, and now I guess it's all the news that somebody pays us to print.
Well, they knew about the Holocaust. They intentionally didn't write about it. So my guess is this scam's been happening since at least FDR.
Absolutely.
So, but you know, let's talk Chelsea Clinton.
If we have to.
Yeah.
Webb Hubble's daughter.
Yeah, Webb Hubble's not going to be happy with his daughter, right? Well, Webb Hubble doesn't care about his daughter. Webb Hubble will be unhappy that he's not in on the grift, right? By the way, I looked up Webster Hubble because we were trying to decide if he was dead or not. He lives in Charlotte. He could be my neighbor at Lake Norman. I could like wave to him every, you know, when I'm going out of the cove in my yacht and waving to people. Right?
Well, you don't think he's getting a cut of the $84 million that has gone to the Clinton Foundation?
Yeah, $84 million of federal money sent to Chelsea Clinton. Chelsea Clinton, $84 million.
Has she been down there cleaning up the poverty in Haiti with that money? Or
well, that doesn't. So that doesn't even include. I mean, remember when the Clinton Foundation got $4.4 billion? This is just what they found from USAID. I mean, this is like this is a lady in Virginia that has a database called Data Republican.
Yeah, small r, she says, small r.
Yep, Data Republic, you should go there because you can look, you can do searches yourself. For example, I found out that the Sand Hills Community Center gets 80 million, 100% of the Sand Hills Community Center's funding comes from the government, and they got $80 million. And their mission is to provide mental health services to the Sand Hills. I don't see 80. I mean, I'm not in the business, but I'm not seeing $80 million worth of mental health.
Didn't our county commissioners determine that center was actually just sitting dormant?
I think that the county commissioners have defunded the Sand Hills,
providing no services.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
But anyway, I mean, I'm not really up to speed.
I think it's time to look to the week ahead.
Da da dun.
Yes, very exciting. Well, we can say with some degree of certainty that sometime in the week ahead, the aforementioned Kash Patel will become director of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will become the director of the Department of Health and Human Services. You know, they like to call him the vaccine critic, but you know, I'll give him credit. He's been consistent over many decades of hammering away at the medical industrial establishment, and now we're, you know, as a result of the abuse of the mRNA technology, which became a falsely labeled vaccine to combat the Fauci virus, we now know that the
I'm sorry, the Fauci / Duke virus,
the Duke University, yes, the Doris Duke Anthony Fauci virus,
yes,
correct. And the other thing that's so richly ironic about this is that you've got Kash Patel going in to become the director of the FBI, which Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s father, you know, ran cover for when J. Edgar Hoover ran it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I mean, this is a great time to be alive. Let's just put it that way.
There is no better timeline. No better timeline. This is everything's awesome.
And then in the week ahead, I think we would also be advised to keep an eye on the new Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is let's see, if the United States was a China shop, she is now our bull. And she is coming in full destructive mode to root out all of the things that little Merrick Garland, this feckless man who was the past 4 years the puppet on a string for the Obama deep state, has already issued any number of directives that she will pursue with zealous advocacy, the enforcing of criminal laws passed by Congress, as well as presidential policies. She has already called for the resumption of the death penalty when it's merited by prosecutors. She is not going to put up with any longer the the Justice Department being weaponized in any way against the American people or against the White House and against our lawmakers. She said very boldly in her opening memo that any Justice Department attorney who declines to sign a brief, refuses to advance good faith arguments on behalf of the Trump administration, or otherwise delays or impedes the Justice Department's mission will be subject to discipline and potential termination. And just so you don't, you know, go crazy, she's talking about job termination.
Oh, I'm shocked. You got my hopes up.
Job termination. So you don't say that she's, you know, that she's promoting, violence.
And let me say this. You know, the leftists will be out rioting in the streets and causing insurrections because she's going to fire U.S. attorneys. Let me remind everyone, when Bill Clinton came into office, he was the first president in modern times. He fired every single U.S. attorney. Every single U.S. attorney on day one was fired. So I don't want to hear from these insurrectionist Democrats that, oh my gosh, they're firing disloyal people.
That's correct. Also, I think it would be important in the week ahead to keep a close eyeball on further developments with this USAID abuse, USAID, that whole money laundering scam. Well, I think you're going to see more whistleblowers come out. You already saw another James O'Keefe, what they call OMG, O'Keefe Media Group, OMG, appropriately named.
That's a perfect name.
Nailed yet another guy on a hidden camera talking about how relatively easy it was for the deep state to simply avoid and ignore any kind of edicts issued by Trump executive orders. This guy in the State Department was immediately, I believe, terminated. And again, from his job.
You always get my hopes up.
You know, from his job. Keep an eye also on some of the activities that are going to be taking place as we continue to watch the deportation of illegal immigrants in the week ahead. Tom Homan, the border czar, is threatening criminal action against people like Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, who has said openly that she's conducting seminars to help Somalians who are here illegally in her state avoid deportation, and as well as the governor of New Jersey, who has said he will stand in defiance. And Illinois.
The Trump administration has made it clear that they're going to prosecute people who they're going to enforce the federal law. I mean, it's against federal law to entice, harbor, transport, anything to do with illegal aliens. They're going to enforce the law. But here's who's going to find out: our school boards. Woke County School Board has come out and said, oh, we're not, you know, we're going to shelter illegal aliens. We're going to see if they hold that tune when they lose all their federal funding and when the U.S. Marshals show up to arrest them. Because, look, it is illegal to do that. There's a local thing to keep your eye on, and that is the crony establishment trying to keep its control of the Moore County GOP.
We do need to keep a close eye on that. And in fact, precinct meetings are coming. Find out where your precinct is. And if you would like to demand reform in the local Republican Party, you need to show up for your precinct meeting to become a delegate to the March County Convention, where leadership votes will occur.
Yeah, and let me frame this a little bit, because we worked really hard to get the crony establishment out of Moore County. We got it out of our judicial system. We got it out of the school board, although, you know, we didn't know Levy was an undercover member. We got it out of the Board of Health. We got it out of all our elected places. We're making headways into Sand Hills, the last relevant member of the crony establishment. Their last toehold is the leadership of the Moore County GOP and Mr. Beto. And he's the last relevant member of the crony establishment. And we just need to deliver that coup de grace, and then we are crony establishment free in Moore County.
We'll be all over that in the weeks ahead. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Taking Aim.